This is AgriPulse Daybreak for Tuesday, September 24th. Brought to you by Watkins & Miller and Dairy Management Incorporated. Good morning, I'm Jeff Alley. Here's today's headlines. Trump challenges deer. Port strike looms closer as talks stall. Age divide on food terms. Trump threatens deer over Mexico plans. Former President Donald Trump is threatening to impose a 200% tariff on John Deere farm equipment produced in Mexico if the company shifts production of some skid steer and compact loader models south of the border. Trump, seated in front of two John Deere tractors at a roundtable in Pennsylvania yesterday, said the company would pay a tremendous tariff on everything they want to send back to the United States unless they change course and focus on expanding operations in the U.S. instead of Mexico. John Deere has got to understand that if they build in Mexico, they start closing plants. That's just the beginning, he said, claiming that in a year from now, they'll be going to another one and then another one. All of a sudden, they're not going to be in the country anymore, and they're going to have to pay a very big price to be able to sell that product into the United States, Trump said. Now, take note, Deere didn't immediately respond to a request for comment on Trump's threat, but the company has said it's shifting the production from its Dubuque, Iowa plant to optimize that facility for other types of equipment. The company says it has put $2 billion into its U.S.-based factory since 2019 for the production and assembly of X9 combines, excavators, new tractor lines, and its See & Spray technology in order to position our U.S. factories to undertake these highly value-added activities. It is sometimes necessary to move less complex operations such as cab assembly to other locations, the Deere website says. This includes moving the production of some models of our skid steer loaders and compact loaders to our factory in Mexico, a facility that has been an important part of our global operation for nearly 70 years. Advocates question possible FDA chemical review process. FDA is holding a public meeting this week on developing a long-awaited process for post-market assessment of chemicals in food. This process would cover ingredients generally recognized as safe, food and color additives, contaminants, and food contact substances. Ahead of the meeting, advocacy groups that have been pushing FDA for years to develop this process said yesterday they are concerned it won't be as proactive, rigorous, and transparent as it needs to be. The Environmental Working Group, Environmental Defense Fund, and the Center for Science and the Public Interest said the discussion paper FDA released to accompany the meeting doesn't provide enough detail about the methods and criteria it will use throughout the process. They also expressed concern with the level of transparency, among other issues. Now take note, the groups are recommending FDA first identify high-priority chemicals for assessment by focusing on chemicals that are carcinogens or of concern for children's health. Additionally, they suggest FDA focus on chemicals that stay in the body for a long period of time, like PFAS. Corteva, Elanco leaders call for improved regulatory system for ag innovation. CEOs from seed and animal health companies suggest that the U.S. regulatory structure is delaying farmers from accessing critical technology. During the opening plenary session of the National Association of State Departments of Agriculture annual meeting in Indianapolis, Chuck Margo, CEO of Corteva, and Jeff Simmons, CEO of Elanco, discussed the challenges to innovation in agriculture. Both suggested there is too much politics involved in the regulatory system, which can prevent farmers from accessing the best technology to address problems like drought and productivity. Not all of this is limited to the United States, they said. Until we have sort of a global, harmonized regulatory system when it comes to gene editing, we won't be able to have these wonderful tools and technologies available to farmers, said Margo. We'll have more AgriPulse Daybreak after this.
Dairy Management Incorporated serves America's 34,000 plus dairy farmers and dairy importers by managing research and marketing programs aimed at promoting dairy consumption and protecting the good image of dairy farmers, dairy products, and the dairy industry. Funded entirely by dairy farmers, DMI has distinguished itself as a strategic consultant and valuable resource to businesses and organizations in the food and beverage sector that seek to increase sales and raise their image through the innovative use of dairy and dairy ingredients.
Welcome back to AgriPulse Daybreak. Talks between dock workers and port operators stall. A strike looms. East and Gulf Coast port operators say they can't get a dock workers union to return to the negotiating table as the threat of a strike is closing in. The United States Maritime Alliance, a group representing container carriers, marine terminal operators, and port associations stretching from Boston to Houston, said in a statement yesterday that it has been, quote, unable to schedule a meeting to continue negotiations on a new master contract with the International Longshoremen's Union. Dock workers could strike as soon as October 1st if an agreement is not reached. Amid the tensions, the federal government has taken an interest in the dispute. Both the Department of Labor and the Federal Mediation and Conciliation Service have been in touch with USMX, which has expressed openness to the idea of mediation so long as the other side is. ILA Executive Vice President Dennis Daggett, meanwhile, decried the idea of federal intervention last Friday. "Let me be clear, the government should stand up for American workers, not foreign-owned corporations that seek to destroy our great jobs," Daggett said. Poll. Half of Americans oppose meat and milk terms on plant-based foods. Some 54% of Americans surveyed say plant-based meat alternatives shouldn't use meat-related terms, while 47% don't think dairy alternatives should use terms like milk. That's according to a YouGov survey conducted online earlier this month. But there are significant differences between age groups. Older consumers are more resistant to the use of this terminology than younger ones. More than three-fifths, 62% of consumers age 55 or more, say non-meat products should not use meaty words. Among 18 to 34-year-olds, the number is only 45%, YouGov says. Here's today's final word. I don't need Congress, but they'll approve it. I have the right to impose them myself if they don't. That former President Donald Trump, when asked at the Pennsylvania event yesterday about his plan to increase tariffs. Well, that's Daybreak for this Tuesday, September 24th. Brought to you by Watkinson Miller and Dairy Management Incorporated. For the latest news out of Washington, D.C., visit AgriPulse.com. For AgriPulse Daybreak, I'm Jeff Dowling.